The Rose Garden Husband by Margaret Whittemer. Chapter 1. The library teacher lifted her eyes from a half-made catalogue card, eyed the relentlessly slow clock, and checked a long wriggle of purest, frankest weariness. Then she gave a furtive glance round to see if the children had noticed she was off guard. For if they had, she knew the whole crowd might take more liberties than they ought to, and have to be spoken to by the janitor. He could do a great deal with them, because he understood their attitude to life, but that wasn't good for the library teacher's record. It was 4 o'clock of a stickily wet Saturday. As long as it was anything from Monday to Friday, the average library attendant goes around thanking her stars she isn't a school teacher. But the last day of the week, when the rest of the world is having its relaxing Saturday off and coming to gloat over you as it acquires its Sunday reading bestseller, if you work in a library, you begin just at noon to wish devoutly that you'd taken up scrubbing by the day, or hack driving, or porch climbing, or anything on earth that gave you a weekly half-holiday. So the library teacher braced herself severely and put on her reading glasses with a view to looking older and more firm. Library teacher, it might be well to explain, was not her official title. Her description on the payroll ran, Assistant for the Children's Department, Greenway Branch, City Public Library. Grown-up people, when she happened to run across them, called her Miss Braithwaite. But library teacher was the only name the children ever used, and she saw scarcely anybody but the children, 6 days a week, 51 weeks a year. As for her real name that nobody ever called her by, that was Phyllis Narcissa. She was quite willing to have such a name as that buried out of sight. She had a sense of fitness, and such a name belonged back in an old New England parsonage garden full of pink roses and nice green caterpillars and girl dreams, and the days before she was 18. Not in a smutty city library, attached to a 25-year-old young woman with reading glasses and fine discipline and woolen shirtwaist. It wasn't that the library teacher didn't like her position. She not only liked it, but she had a great deal of admiration for it, because it had been exceedingly hard to get. She had held it firmly now for a whole year. Before that, she had been in the cataloguing, where your eyes hurt and you get a little pain between your shoulders, but you sit down and can talk to other girls. And before that, in the circulation, where it hurts your feet and you get ink on your fingers, but you see lots of funny things happening. She had started at 18 years old, at $30 a month. Now she was 25, and she got all of $50, so she ought to have been a very happy library teacher indeed, and generally she was. When the children wanted to specify her particularly, they described her as the pretty one that laughs. But at 4 o'clock of a wet Saturday afternoon, in a badly ventilated, badly lighted room full of damp little unwashed foreign children, even the most sunny-hearted library teacher may be excused for having thoughts that are a little tired and cross and restless. She flung herself back in her desk chair and watched with brazen indifference Giovanni and Liberata Bruno stickily pawing the colored bird book that was supposed to be looked at only under supervision. She ignored the fact that three little Czechs were fighting over the wailing library cat, and the sounds of conflict caused by Jimsy Hoolan's desire to get the last surviving algebra book away from John Zanowski moved her not a whit. The library teacher had stopped for 5 minutes being grown up and responsible, and she was wishing, wishing hard and vengefully.